Right, the Lord is good. So this is supposed to be like a conclusion, so let's continue from where we were. Hopefully we can complete the season of fruitfulness today. The book of Deuteronomy chapter 11, that's where we have been in the last few teachings. Deuteronomy chapter 11 and the season of fruitfulness teachings that we have been having. Since I said I'm trying to conclude everything today, let me just give us a small summary, which I hope will not take more than 5 to 10 minutes, so as just to connect. The summary of everything we have been doing, the season of fruitfulness, is to help people understand that everything that is spiritual should have a physical manifestation. Are you getting my point? If something is in the heart, it must come out on the surface. If something is in the realm of the spirit, there is a manifestation of it on this earth. If you read the book of Hebrews chapter 1, Jesus Christ was being described, and it was said to be the exact, that it was the expression of his glory and the exact representation of his nature. That is, God exists in the realm of the spirit, but you can see God in the physical realm. That is, when you want to know what Jesus, what God is like, all right, as a human being, you look at Jesus Christ. So Philip said, show us the Father. They were speaking to Jesus, and that will be enough for us. And Jesus said, you mean you have been with me all this while, and you are still telling me she was the Father? What do you think you have been seeing? He wasn't claiming to be the Father, because, you know, some people want to talk about it, teach some unitary doctrine. They will tell you that Jesus was the Father. No, what he was saying is that if I show you the Father, what will you see that you will say you haven't seen before? I don't know whether you get my point. You cannot see God in the realm that he is. Jesus said it himself, God is spirit. What when he was saying that in John chapter 4, what he was saying is that God is not in this realm, he's in another realm. That's what he was saying. So he was saying that if you want to contact him, you have to worship him in spirit and in truth. That is, if you go somewhere and they say, bow before you enter, Jesus said, no problem. But if that bowing is just outward alone, God can't see it. That is, you must first bow in your heart. The outward bowing, all right, the outward bowing must be a manifestation of a spiritual bow that you have taken. That's what they said. Those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Now, he said God is a spirit. All right? Or God, literal Greek say God is spirit. That is, God is not physical. He is spirit. Anything that's in the realm of the spirit, the way God has designed it is that if it is relevant in this time, if it's relevant in this dispensation, it must have a physical manifestation. So the physical manifestation of God is Jesus Christ. And even before him, he always had a part of him manifested in people. And if you got my sermon I sent out about 2 weeks ago, I talked about the real goal of Christianity. That what God wants now is for you, you sitting down there and me speaking here, all of us, anybody listening to this, if you say you're a Christian, his primary thing in your life is that you will be his current manifestation. Are you getting my point? As people want to know God, they say, please, can you show me God? They say, you mean you have been with me all this while? What else do you want? Because if you see God, he's a spiritual being. But if he has to come into this physical realm, he has to take up a form. Now, bear that principle in mind. That's what we've been talking about. So we said, your blessing also is in the realm of the spirit. All right? Your blessing is in the realm of the spirit. But being there, it's not useful to anybody unless its manifestation, all right, occurs in this dispensation. That's what I've been talking about. And everything that exists in the realm of the spirit will be manifested in this dispensation. And we're talking about, you know, spiritual blessings, therefore, coming down to the earth. It has to meet the earth somewhere. There must be a place where that spiritual blessing will enter and we'll see the manifestation of it. And we said, don't forget that, that was why when God blessed, made a promise to Adam, and he made a promise to Abraham, and he made promises here and there through the prophets about the coming of a redeemer. In fact, about redeeming mankind, let me put it like that. The redeemer had to come. And for the redeemer to come, a body had to be prepared. The blessing wouldn't just come and be hanging in the air. He had to have a place, all right? The blessing had to have a place to rest. Therefore, the angel went to Mary and said, will you cooperate? We need you to help us so we can form a body that blessing of God will come and rest in. So every blessing you have in life will rest somewhere. Are you getting my point? And that we began to talk about. So I've said that you've been hearing the word of God. God has said to bless you. Let's talk about economic blessing now. Prosperity, you know, stuff like that. God says, okay, I'm going to bless you, but listen, children of God, I don't rain manna from heaven, usually. I rain manna only under emergency conditions. Are you getting my point? And since your life is not supposed to be an emergency, it's not that you wake up every morning, there's crisis. Hey, what is happening? I don't have money. What is happening? Rain is about to fall. We don't have to wait to hide. That's not supposed to be your life. So God says, the blessing that I have commanded upon you, it will not be able to manifest except there is a body. That is, with all the love God has for mankind, with the faithfulness, all right, of his nature that was backing his promises, Mary had to agree for them to give birth to that boy that the Spirit of God embodied, you know, in Christ, can tabernacle in the flesh called Jesus. Are you getting my point? I hope you understood that.
Yes.
If you understood it, say amen.
Amen.
Now, that's what we've been talking about. So I said, for that reason, there are things you must do. He said, he that watches the winds will not sow, and he that observes the clouds will not reap. That there is a season of sowing, and there is a season of harvest. But in both of them, there is work to do. And that's the point where I've been making all of these things. In both of them, there is work to do. Now, the last in this series, that was last Saturday. And I explained something. Let me just review that one again for a minute or two. And that's the fact that, you see, you must have an expectation. That's why we talk like this. Because life, listen, let me, I'm back to it now. You know, sometimes I feel like I'm saying the same thing again and again. I may be saying the same thing again and again, all right? Don't worry. It is still what? The word of God, all right? Now, let me get back to it. So, you see, in life, all right, it's a battle of what? Words. Like, and when we talk about words now, it's not only just these words that we utter. You know, the Bible says, day unto day utter speech. When you wake up in the morning, the atmosphere tells you something. The way the clouds gather, telling you something. All those things that's been spoken to you, what are they doing? They are creating an expectation in you. They are creating the way you relate with life. And that is how life now relates with you back. Are you getting my point? If God wants to give you a blessing, if he wants to manifest something through you, if you have a wrong thought pattern, it's very important. If you have a wrong thought pattern, if your thought processes are different from that of God, that blessing cannot enter. If you have not been around on Tuesdays, when we're talking about how to deal with the devil in your life, I talked about strongholds. And what are strongholds? Strongholds are thought processes that are firmly established in our hearts that are different from that of God. If your thinking pattern, if your thought processes, all right, differ from that of God, he can't pour a blessing into you until he has realigned you. He can't. It's not as if he won't. He can't. If he did, you will be injured. This is very important you understand. You know, God is very kind. He's very, very kind. If God gives you a blessing that your mind can't handle, you will lose it. Sometimes it destroys you. One of the ways I like to explain it is that one day, one woman was so nice to Elijah. Was it Elijah or Elisha? The Shunammite woman. Elisha now. Yeah, the woman of Shunem. That he said, what do we do for her? Oh, she does not have a child. So, okay, good. Called the woman and prophesied upon her. And Elisha's words were very heavy. So the woman had to get, the woman said, don't deceive me, man of God. That this is deception. Why are you telling me lies? So the boy was born by force. By prophetic force. What did I call it? Prophetic force. He was born by prophetic force. But the woman couldn't hold him. Because of that, one day he had a headache and he died. But the good thing was that that had allowed her to realize that God could do things that she did not understand. So this time around, she ran to the prophet. But you will know that she didn't receive it herself the first time. Why? Because when she got there, he said, did I not tell you not to lie to me? No, go and read it. That was exactly what she said to him. Man of God, did I not tell you not to lie to your servant? Who's right now? You lied? I told the truth. Why? The boy is dead. That's my understanding of it. The man of God now prayed. It took him a while of praying. The boy finally rose up, let me put it like this, reluctantly. You are smiling. You know, it was a lot of aggressive prayer. for God to release that boy back. That, look, Elisha, if you do this thing like this, this boy will die again. Elisha said, but we just have to wake him up. Now, please, you know, I'm trying to explain something using this principle. At the end of the day, what happened? When the boy woke up, he didn't bring the boy. He said, now go and take him up for yourself. Those were the exact words he used. Now, this is my understanding of it. He said, listen, if I bring him to you by force, he will die again. That's a spiritual lesson. Now, you exercise your faith and receive this boy. That way, he will live. That's why God doesn't just pour blessings on people anyhow. If he does, and they are not ready for it, they lose it. Sometimes it destroys them. It destroys them. So for that reason, before God can bless people, he has to realign them. He has to realign the way they think. He has to do things in their life. Listen, that was why he took him so long to give Isaac to Abraham. He could have done like this, home in one day, and you know, just see Abraham. Say, yes, my Lord. Are you ready to follow me? And was he not ready? No, was he not ready? And God has said, this guy's readiness is just too good. Oh, yeah, give him that boy. Boom, he's born. But God said, if I do it like that, that boy will spoil. He will not be able to pass that blessing down. So what do we do? Let us take time out to train him. 25 years of all kinds of training. How God will deliver his wife when the men will have collected his wife and taken her away. All kinds of training. When he will stand and have to, you know, allow things to go so that Lot will make a choice before him. When he will go fight to deliver Lot, he interceded. I was listening to the Bible again the other day. I realized that after all the machinations of delivering Lot, the comment that God passed was that God did all of that for the sake of Abraham. Now, you are getting the point I'm making? Now, all of these things were done to train this man. He gave Lot everything. You would take wherever you wanted. While he was delivering Lot, remember what happened? He gathered a lot of goods for himself. Then he released it to the king of Sodom again. Lest you see, I made Abraham rich. He met Melchizedek. He did all of those things. This is my understanding. So that he will be ready to receive Isaac. And then finally, the last thing that happened was that he met strangers, showed up. He did not know it was God and his angels going to judge some people. He just saw people alone at night. This dangerous territory. You can't stay out here. He persuaded them, and that was the last straw that broke the camel's back. That's why, let me say it to you again. You know, we keep on saying these things again and again to help Christians. You cannot give one offering and then you will break through if you're not a regular giver before that day. This is your first time you are giving. You're expecting breakthrough. Don't worry. You want to rewrite the scripture. He said, behold, God is not mocked. He said, God can be mocked. That's what you are trying to rewrite. They are trying to write in place of that scripture. Abraham, that day God showed up, but it was the last of the set of lectures and trainings and workshops that God had been giving him over the last 24 years. And when he passed that test, suddenly he was ready to receive Isaac. You are getting my point? That's why the lessons of God in your life, don't take them lightly. They are very crucial for your blessing. They are very crucial for your promotion. They are very crucial. If somebody says something that annoys you, ask yourself, why am I angry? Is it because what he's saying is bad, or it is because I'm too stubborn? Yes, that's the way it is. Those lessons are put together for you to be able to receive Isaac. And that was why Isaac was born in the fullness of time. And God kept on training him. To release Ishmael, you know, was a lesson. Because remember, when they said, let Ishmael go, the Bible said this thing grieved Abraham. Why? Because of Ishmael, his son. But he allowed Ishmael to go, and that was training for him. Don't forget, when he died, it was Ishmael and Isaac that came back and buried him. That Ishmael came back together with Isaac, buried Abraham. He didn't totally lose contact with the boy. You understand? He saw the boy go, and God preserved him. God took care of him. And so that one day God now said to him, give me Isaac. He had been trained. He had been trained for over 40 years, training in the school of faith. So when God said, give me Isaac, it was the final exam for him to qualify finally for the blessing. You are getting the point I'm trying to make? Are you getting what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
So this is how God does it. So all the experiences we have in life is to realign our minds. All right? to be able to receive that blessing. Now, I said all of this to explain why we're doing this short series on the season of fruitfulness. Because people's minds must be retrained. It must be retrained. It must be retrained. If you don't retrain the minds of people, God wants to bless them. There's nothing he can do. He can't force blessing into anybody's life. Until it tunes your mind, changes your mind. Like the last two meetings, I've been explaining a particular principle. But that's why I wanted to read this Deuteronomy chapter 11, but I won't bother reading it again because we want to save time. But we'll just refer to it here and there. You see, God said, I'm bringing you, telling the people, from the land of Egypt, where when you plant your seed, you have to water it with your own effort. You had to. And I said to you, the principles, many of the principles of doing business, even marriage, other things that people preach these days, many of them are Egyptian principles. How to succeed in farming in Egypt. Many of them. Now, I remember once I was talking to a friend of mine. You know, he said he investigated how to get involved in movie business, all of that. So he went to the market and said, okay, what kind of movies do you like? And they insisted that he had to be like this. I said to him that doesn't, it doesn't, it was, he and I were having an argument about it. I said, no, that is what they say. But if God wants to bless a man, you don't have to do your movies the way they are saying. I said, you don't have to do your own the way they are saying. And you will see something as we go on, if I can get there today. As I was coming in the car, the message was playing. My wife knows that when she was laughing and laughing at labor, I was concentrating on something. Now listen, how labor, the one that was making her laugh, labor was a very funny human being. If you see Laban, run. If ever, you know Laban? The uncle of Jacob. That guy, next time you see him, the other direction. Don't do any deal with him. Why do I say that? Because you remember the Bible, well, we listened to that, we're driving down for the Bible, this evening's Bible study. That, what do you want me to give you? Name it whatever you say, I will give it to you. Jacob said, all right, let's be like this. Any dark colored sheep and any spotted and striped this and that, let me take those ones that have stripes, spots, and they are dark colored. So that when you have the one, anytime you see anything that's not like that in my sheepfold, it means I stole it. Oh, Laban said, that is good, yes. As soon as Jacob turned like this, the man quickly went, removed those animals and gave to his sons to keep. And said, Jacob, go and choose now. Knowing there was nothing left. Knowing there was nothing left. What he did not know. Oh, God. And that's what I'm trying to teach. God is on your side. Amen. That's what I'm trying to teach. That you are not average. Yes, you're not average. Listen. What you are doing... Listen. Do you know why I'm... Let me tell you a bit of my story again, all right? You've heard it 10 times. In the secular world, you know, normal work, I trained basically as a medical doctor, right? And then one day my friends asked me, I'm a pathologist today, all right? I'm still practicing. I don't know for how long, but I'm still practicing as of today. If you finish as a doctor, you know, you self-specialize. It's almost compulsory all over the world today, all right? So before I finished my youth service, I had to decide. I'm going somewhere, just brief about the story. Later on, my friends would say, why did you choose you are going to specialize in, you know, as a pathologist? And there are different stories I give, but because of the message I'm teaching today, I'll give you the most important reason. It was straight because I had a direct leading of the Spirit to do it. I still remember the weekend. I still remember the seat where I was sitting in the sitting room at home. I came down from Taraba State where I served. I came from a convention, that my alumni fellowship. So I was at home before I went back to NYC. I was still thinking, what am I going to do? That day, as I sat, it was as if somebody cracked my skull open, tossed it in inside, and closed it. I almost could hear it as it landed. Now, there's a reason why I'm telling that story. So late after that, I told everybody I'm going to be a pathologist. And people were wondering. Now, it was funny because when I trained in school, we didn't have one. We were borrowing from here and there. There was nobody to inspire you to. And the idea did not cross my mind all the days I was a medical student. Finished my internship, it didn't cross my mind. Was doing youth service, it didn't cross my mind. The first day it was tossed into my head was the day I made up my mind. That's what I'm talking about it. So you see, I'm not just another pathologist. Please, I want you to understand that. I'm not. I don't know fully what God was doing with it. You understand? I don't know fully. I think I understand some of it, all right? It's many, many parts of it I can easily explain if we are chatting about it. But I'm going to bring that as an illustration of the fact that Christians are not... Look, today you may find yourself somewhere, maybe what you do, you design clothes. You're not looking for money. Did you hear what I said? You are not looking for money. No, you're not just looking for money. Now, you're not saying, but nobody spoke to me the way somebody spoke to you. You understand what I'm saying? Very nice. You know, I've told you, God doesn't always talk like that. It's okay. So how did he speak to you to become a preacher? That's one thing he never did. It's very funny. So, if you think I always wait for such things. No! Remember my gist all the time? What did God say to you about the woman you marry? He said, I pronounce you man and wife. Are you saying he did not say anything to you? You see, he said it in different ways. The way he said that one, I remember very well, was that as soon as I saw my wife for the first time, an angel said, what do you think? I didn't know what I heard what I said. I didn't know it was an angel, but the thought just came to me and said, what do you think? I said, my God. That's it. And so you know why God didn't say anything? He said, don't worry, he likes her. No, that's it. He didn't have to say anything because he understood that I liked her. If the other thought had crossed my mind, he may not have to say anything. I'm going to explain something to you. Listen, we'll talk about it later. I've made up my mind to explain that principle again. All right? When I finish the next series, I want to start next Saturday. That is, if I can finish this one today. All right? I'll get back to it later. I'll take it line by line, try to explain that thing to people. Okay? Well, we won't talk about it now. But why talk about it? That even though you didn't get that kind of manifestation that I got, it doesn't mean that what you are doing now, God didn't choose you specifically for it. Do you get the point I'm making? No, it doesn't mean that. What I want to emphasize to you, all right, is that you are not just another person. What Laban didn't get was that Jacob was not just another person. Because Jacob said something to his wife when he wanted to leave. He said, listen, girls, when your father was doing this, what he did not know was that before that discussion, I had had a dream. Oh. Before that discussion, I had a dream. And I saw this is the realm of the spirit. So when it was stealing the animals, I said, no worries, steal. Then by the power of the revelation of God I had already, I began to make sticks, redesign sticks. I started genetic engineering thousands of years before men knew they were genes. Please, I hope you are getting my point. You know what we discover all of these things? I want you to have a mindset about yourself. So you can't be in the market and be fighting over customers. Fighting who over what? If it's not mine, let it go. If it is mine, it will stay. It will stick on me. You can't tear it away. And listen, that's how it is for every Christian. That's what I want to understand. That's the mindset I want you to have. Don't think that when you get to the market early, you catch the early customers. Your customers will wait. Yes, sir. I pray you can believe that. Yes. They will what? Yes. Wait. It is vain to rise up early and go to bed late. There are times that are proper for you to go to the market. Choose your proper time and nobody is changing it for you. Pressure is not changing it for you. No, pressure is not allowed to change it for you. Do you know why? Because you are not an accident. That's what Laban didn't get. Laban didn't get that point. So, while he was hustling, and he and his sons were rearranging, listen, the same man and his sons that tried to defraud Jacob, get his point, they were the same ones that came and started grumbling that Jacob has taken all our father's goods. I don't know whether I get the point. They stole it, hid it, even though they had an agreement. But God so turned things around that they opened their mouths and said, Jacob has taken everything that belonged to our father. You know, I'm talking like this. I want believers to understand that you are not going to get your results, succeed in life because of chance or because you took the Egyptian principles, how they farmed, you understand, in Egypt. You used it in the promised land. No, that's not what happened to you. Let me say to you, some of the greater, assuming you have a shop in the market, you have a business somewhere. Listen, just to make his point to you, God will do something to you for you very soon. The day you don't go to work is the day you make the highest sales. Not as if he's trying to encourage you not to go to work. Just wants you to understand that it's not your coming that's attracting the thing. It is the blessing. Are you getting my point? That the reason why you come is that you are supposed to work. This is the place of your assignment. That what is attracting the thing is the blessing. It is not your coming. So what he will do is that you make sure you can't go one day for 1 week. You know, there's this place, they say that January is always very dry. You remember that thing? Yeah. My wife knows what I'm talking about. Once, one January like this, my wife said, why is this January is dry? January, I don't have time to go anywhere. I did that because, you know, she does business, sells some things, you know. That she said, look, this is January that they said is dry, nothing is happening. Look now. Everybody was in January is dry. They saw her books that January. They said, no, madam, this must be April. And there's one anointing my wife has. In fact, something happened last week, I won't tell you. I just told myself, this girl is anointed. You know, there are some kinds of anointings. Let me just give you one small idea. One day somebody imported children's toys. Understand? Toys. No computer, stuff like that. You know, not just Lego, I mean, toys. No computers that work, you know, but for kids. They say, I don't know, this thing, I just not be able to sell it. Somebody now, maybe somebody linked that to my wife, just, I sold everything like 2 weeks. He doesn't just sell them like, hey, go from house to house. It's sometimes I'm not exaggerating, by the laying on of hands. Just walking and say, what are these things still doing here? They've been here for some time. In the name of Jesus, I speak to you, go. You, go. Go. No, afterwards, say, Madam Blair, I want to hear that testimony from your mouth. And then she will sit down, going on the road. Good afternoon, ma'am. Please, do you have this and this and that? Sometimes I will sit down and just say, those guys just left. They bought goods, 120,000 naira. Just flash cash for you like this. Why? Because last week I went in there, I began to lay my hands. And I said to this, since you have occupied my store long enough. Oh, yeah? Hello, yeah. It's an unction. What did I say? It's an unction. And listen, for Christians, it's not always that dramatic. See, I just prayed. Sometimes your very presence, I don't know whether you're getting my point. You just enter somewhere. You know, listen, when they had problems in Babylon, they said, have you called Daniel? Say, why should they call you? You've not called Daniel. What's wrong with you? You haven't called Daniel. So that man has the spirit of the gods. That's what they said. There is a spirit that dwells with that fellow. Call him. This problem will be over. What I want you to understand is, listen, it may not always appear that dramatic, but you are not an average person. You are not an average person. For that reason, please, anything you have to do, we're talking about season of fruitfulness, tackle it with that mindset. Tackle it with that mindset. I remember then when everyone has come to Enugu, people said, look, why are you going to Enugu? If it's ministry, it's in Lagos. There are people, listen, half of preachers in Nigeria, at least, conservatively speaking, half still believe that the key to success is have a major branch in Lagos. When I say half, it's a conservative estimate. I'm just trying to be nice. Let's stick with half. But those days, now I had an idea that we'll preach the gospel all over the world. What, you know, then I didn't know it was easy to hang yourself on satellite, you know, like be on satellite TV. I didn't realize it was. Of course, it wasn't easy. Now, let me, that time it wasn't easy. I'm sure those are the days when you needed an arm and a leg to start the deal. But no, it didn't matter to me. I had there was a way I understood that I should go to Enugu. You know, there's a way I track what's happening in our ministry. You understand? We go to the back end of our website and check the traffic. So I saw that whoever it is, a group of people from China, I don't know whether they're Nigerians or Chinese people, I don't know. But suddenly, I think they got hold. Somebody must have told them, go to that website. And in a few days, this guy has pulled 80 gig of bandwidth. Okay, some of you are like, is that Greek or Latin? Okay, those who understand, please, I hope you understand. If you know such things, you can. There's a way you can track. You know where the thing is coming from. They'll show you, you know, the IP address, how many gig that has gone. You just check it. That is, I was so excited that who are these people? The top that downloads as of today, top four, it varies. The ones that are always on top are Nigeria, UK, and US, where you have a lot of Nigerians, I assume. I'm just assuming that, okay? Then next, you have things like Sweden, Norway. I don't know who and who is there, okay? Yeah. But what happened was recently, Algeria suddenly jumped, beat Norway, all those other people, just dropped them down. So you see Nigeria, US, UK, next Algeria. It just stayed up there. I said, what's going on? No, you see strange things. Philippines, I'm not kidding. Get mails from South Africa, from different places. Now, why am I telling you all of these things? When I decided to come to Enugu, they were not possible. Are you getting my point? It wasn't just there. But God knew it to be there. Please, are you getting my point? He knew it to be there. So he said, you want worldwide influence? Don't stay with where everybody said there's worldwide influence. Just go to where I am going to move you. You want to succeed, you want to prosper exceedingly. Don't look for, you know, I keep on telling people, start looking for what everybody is doing. Stop looking for what everybody is doing because you're not everybody. Don't do ministry. This is how this person did it and he succeeded. You are not that person. You are not that. There are people who think that, you know, the reason why people like Bishop Oyedepo can do what they are doing is because the congregation is large. So, listen, you can do twice that and not have a fraction of his congregation because congregation is not God. God knows how he moves his resources. I've told you before, people have told me many times that the reason why you need to have services on Sundays is because without that, you will not be able to get the money to do the work that God sent you to do. I should be using corny way to find money to do what God sent me to do. Then he didn't send me. No, he did not. I tell Akinloke, please go and buy me maybe a loaf of bread. He said, okay. And he starts going. He said, tell his brother, Benga, how do we get money for this loaf of bread? All right, don't worry. Slap that guy, call me. Collect his money. He said, why? My father said, buy a loaf of bread. Some policeman now arrested him. He said, Akinlo, why did you slap an innocent young boy and you collected his money? He said, because my father said, buy a loaf of bread. You must understand. My father said, buy a loaf of bread. Where is the money he gave you? No. He didn't give me money. Once he said, buy a loaf of bread, I had to be wise. That's not foolishness. It's utter foolishness. If he said, if I told him, buy a loaf of bread, he would keep standing there. Say, why is he standing? You haven't given me the money. Go there and say, my father said, bring a loaf of bread. He didn't say, buy. So your father has to do what? Give you the money. If God indeed sent me to do something, while I'm doing what is right and righteous, he had better supply the money. Otherwise, he didn't send me. And that's a good test to know whether you were sent or you were not sent. Anything that's choking you all the time like this to do, when you want to do it, just know you were not sent. Or the time is not yet right. That is why all the years I have been doing ministry, this kind of financial distress I hear people whine and grumble about in churches and on TV every day, I have never had it. He said, why? You know, we are broadcasting. It's a blessing to you. You will send us an offering so we can keep it on air. There are things that, you know, for me, it's more righteous to call the TV station and say, we are broadcasting, we can't pay again. I'm telling you the truth. Who, you see, you can only make demands of those who you agreed with at the beginning. Okay, all of you all over the world who thinks we should broadcast, put up your hand. Whatever you are right now, how you are going to do that, I don't know. It's all, we all agree. So, you are now, therefore, obligated to keep on paying. You send us money. No. They were sitting in their homes, jelly. Then they tuned the TV and saw your black face. You are getting my point? And they enjoyed you doesn't mean they have the obligation to keep you up there. I knew that. I said, God, if we are going to do these things, you will have to supply the money. It's not about wisdom, human wisdom now, that I'm very smart. I'm very smart. I know how to raise money. You know, one of our friends said something the other day. He said, when he started ministry, he told himself, he said before that time, he used to say that any man who starts ministry in 6 months doesn't have 100 members, either he's not called or he's lazy. In 6 months, he didn't have one member when he started. He didn't have... No, get my point. No, you're talking my point. At the end of 6 months, he was alone. You know, if he was married, he would drag his wife there. Yeah, he was not even married. So he was just totally alone. Finally, he prayed to God. He said, God, well, I guess maybe you did not send me. Please give me this sign to let me know so I should go back home. That was when he finally got the first two members. After he knew that he didn't know how to do it. Are you getting what I'm saying? He testified himself that before that, he used to say that 6 months, 1 year, you are called. Your church is not up to 100 people. You are lazy. If you are not lazy, then you are not called. 6 months he went, he didn't have one. Now, he told the story himself. Of course, years have passed. God has blessed his ministry, has grown. You know, he now has influence in many places outside Nigeria and all of that. So he can tell this story. So there's nothing like I know how to do it. Did you hear what I said? No. We are just saying that we allow God to do what he wants to do. That's what we are saying. And I'm emphasizing today to let you know that you're not average. There is nothing that's coming to you by chance. Jacob, our good example. Go and read the story in Genesis 30 and 31. Laban thought he could defraud Jacob. What he did not know, that there was a power that sent Jacob to his house. That blessing upon Jacob. That blessing upon Jacob. You know the interesting thing? I don't want to go into it now again, all right? But as we're listening to that message, as we're driving down, I go to another point. I realized that while Isaac was blessing Jacob, you know, the details were not given as much as you would think it was given, all right? While Isaac was blessing Jacob, he also, as part of the blessing, he had told him who he could not marry. Go and look at it. As Isaac was blessing, what? It was during the blessing that Isaac said simply to Jacob, a condition for the fulfillment of this blessing, you can't take away from here. My God. What am I saying of these things? Down to who Isaac will marry, God had to decide. Now, you know what we're doing all of this talk? I'm releasing words to align your mindset with that of God that will allow that blessing flow. Because you're already there. It's already there. It's already yours. It's already yours. It's already yours. That's why I say to business people, it's not every business you do. It's not everything that makes money that requires your participation. As a preacher, it's not every gospel you preach. Even sometimes they are true, but it doesn't require your, you know, it's not your word. You know, you can't preach it. You can't preach it. Talking about preachers now, there are things that preachers find that move the crowd. Are you getting my point? Yes, that move the crowd. Just start attacking all your enemies. Yeah. Just face your enemies for 6 weeks. You will realize that even the bus driver will stop. Tell passenger they come. May I go pray? Because as fast as, you know, it's an African problem. All your enemies. It's an African problem. It's not a white man's problem. I don't even think it's an Asian problem. Asians do ancestors also. But Africans are the ones that do enemies. It's so strong that Professor Ayo Benite wrote an article, I mean, a world-renowned article on it. He talked about depression in Africans. He said the primary problem in the heart of an African is how to be at peace with his neighbor. He identified it. He's a psychiatrist. He's late now. No, renowned psychiatrist.